Okay. Today is Wednesday, December the 4th. This is the women's Chumash here. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Yud Chet. Beginning today with Psukim Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel, and Chaf Dalet.
Okay, Rabotai.
Could you give me one for Faye?
Sure. Okay, Rabotai, we are up to Bereshit Perek Yud Chet. Like to move on. And just focus for a second on Pasuk Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel, and perhaps Chaf Dalet. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already shared with Avraham as to what exactly he's planning on doing, and the Torah now interrupts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, and instead of proceeding directly from Pasuk Chaf Aleph to Chaf Gimel, the Torah flashes back, Vayifnu Misham Ho'anashim, Vayelchu Sedoma, V'Avraham Odena Omeid Lefnei Hashem. So last week we pointed out that Rashi had said that V'Avraham Odena Omeid Lefnei Hashem is not what the phrase means, or perhaps that's not what was written. What was written was Hashem Odenu Omeid Lifnei Avraham. God is still standing waiting for Avraham. That's what it either said, and it was changed by the Sofrim. We spoke about Rashi believes that there was a change, and I gave you the source sheet which has 18 different changes in Tanakh, which are called Tikkunei Sofrim, based on the fact that they came to the conclusion that it was inappropriate to write the text the way it appears in the text. It just conveys the wrong message. The wrong message was, it's just not right for God to sit there waiting for a human being to take care of what he has to do, and the Baruch Hashem is just sitting around waiting. And therefore, they switched it. It's not V'Hashem Omeid, Odeno Omeid al Avraham. It's Avraham Odeno Omeid Lefnei Hashem. It's God, Avraham is waiting for God to finish what he had to do, even though that was not the case. So one theory was, Rashi's school of thought was, that it meant there was an actual change 18 times in the text. 18 times. And the other school, I showed you the response of the Rashba, who believed, God forbid, that a human being would tamper with Torah text. He has no right to do so. And all the Sofrim did was, they alerted us that the text should have written something else, but it didn't. You have to ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam why he wrote it that way. However, be advised that when you translate the text, do not translate it the way the text appears to be translated. So even though it says, V'Avraham Odeno Omeid Lefnei Hashem, when you teach this to your third grader, don't translate it that Avraham was standing in the presence of, waiting for God. Don't say that. Don't translate it that Hashem Odeno Omeid Lefnei Avraham. God was sitting waiting around. That's what you should tell him. As to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it this way, haven't the foggiest idea. If it's a man change, I understand the sensitivity. They didn't think that the message would be an appropriate message. I showed you the one in Malachi as well, where God said, anybody who's going to try to interfere with me, yinaker be'eini. That's what it actually said in the text. Will pierce my eyes out. That's what it says. God is talking. You'll pierce my eye out. And they change it. Yinaker be'eino. You'll pierce his eye out. The person, somebody else's eye. Not God's eye. Because it's not right for a prophet to write that somebody's going to pierce God's eyes out. So there were these 18 times. That's what we said last week. And it's called Tikkunei Sofrim. There will be a couple of them in Sefer Bereishit, in this Parsha, in Parshas Vayera, and a couple of others. So as you come along, as we come to them, we will obviously make reference to them. But I wanted to move on and focus on the phrase, Odenu Omeid Lifnei Hashem. Odenu Omeid Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot which you have in front of you on page 1A, believes that this phrase is the phrase in which we learn out that Abraham prayed. From this phrase. This one in combination with another phrase, which is a little later in Perek Yutet, where it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboke El HaMakom Asher Amad Sham. So it says that in Perek Yutet. Avraham woke up to the place where he once stood. Now, how do you get prayer from the place where he once stood? How do you get prayer from the place where he once stood? So look at page 1A. I bracketed the brighter for you. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. This brayta supports Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's opinion, because the Gemara previously cites a debate as to what is the origin of our prayer. One opinion is Avot Tiknum. The forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, established prayer. The second opinion is, in fact, it's right in the Gemara, four lines before I bracket it. Might as well take a look at it. Itmar. Itmar means, for those of you who are learning Talmud, doing the Daf Yomi, doing the one page, Itmar means we have learned previously. We have learned previously. Rab Yossi Barab Chanina Omar, Tfilot Avot Tiknum. All of our Tfilot were established by the Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Tfilot Kineged Timidin Tiknum. Right. Tfilin were established to correspond to the Korbanot Tamid, the daily sacrifices that took place in the temple. So, there's a machlokes as to what the origin of tefillah is. Now, our Gemara says, Tanya kavate de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, v'tanya kavase de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. I'm going to cite to you a beraita. A beraita is a Tanaitic source. These two opinions talking, they are Amoraic sages. Amoraim are the period of the Gemara, from the year 201 till 535. Tanaim are from the year 1 until the year 200. The Mishnah was redacted by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi around 200. After that, nothing entered the Mishnah. But, and a Braita is a parallel statement made in the time of the Tanaim, but it was not included in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the editor of the Mishnah, didn't include this in the Mishnah, and therefore it's called a Braita, Tanya a Braita. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Here is a Braita that cites the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Avraham tikein tfilat shacharit. Shine emar, vayashkem Avraham baboker el hamakom asher omad sham. Avraham got up in the morning, to the place where he once stood. Once stood. The Ein Amida Elit Tfilah. And the word Amida means Tfilah. In fact, we call the Shemoneh Esrei the Amida, because you're standing. That's why. Because you have to stand during the recitation of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's why it's called the Amida. But the place, where was the first place where Avraham prayed? Asher Amad Sham. Amad is in the past tense. Avraham got up and went to the place where he once prayed. Where is the place that he once prayed? Right here. Right here. What is he doing? Who is he going to be praying for? Stone. That's where Avraham prays. And what phrase is introducing this? Avraham Odenu Omeid Lifnei Hashem. He's still standing in the presence of God. And what does he do? Vayigash Avraham Vayomar. We're going to read it in a second. So the prayer of Avraham on behalf of the city of Sodom is Avraham's use of the word, or the text use of the word Omeid, and Omad is prayer. And there is a pasuk in Tehillim which states Vayamod Pinchas Vayifalel. Vayifalel. And Palel is actually the shoresh of the word tefillah. Palel means to judge. The Torah says in Parshat Mishpatim, Shmot chapter 21, that if two people are boxing and they have a fight, and one guy bashes somebody's nose and he breaks it, v'natan biflilin. Who adjudicates the case? You don't resolve this yourself, you go to court. V'natan biflilin. Palel is the root of the word tefillah, because every single tefillah is a judgment case. We make a list of requests of the judge, and he evaluates our requests and makes a decision. Yes, I will grant you them. No, I will not. So therefore, and it says Vayamod Pinchas Vayifaleh. So the Gemara establishes that Amida in the Torah text means prayer. So since it says Vayashkem Avraham, when did he pray? In the morning. That's how we arrived at Avraham established Tfilat Shacharit. Not the most direct or compelling evidence I've ever seen, but that's what the Gemara says. So assuming that the Avot established the Tfilot, this is the Pasuk that they refer to. The other opinion says, no, it's nothing to do with Avraham. It has to do with corresponding to the Korbanot in the Mikdash. Truth be told, there is no machloket. No machloket. Each one is contributing a different dimension of prayer. Avraham composed the idea of prayer. The essence of prayer was composed by Avraham. The guidelines as to when you're allowed to pray, and so on and so forth, model the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. But just because there was a Korban Tamid Shel Shachar is not a reason for us to pray. Because Maimonides, the Rambam, believes that prayer is a separate, independent mitzvah above and beyond offering sacrifices. And that they pray during the Beit HaMikdash time. They didn't have the prayer that we have today, but they had the institution of prayer. So whatever you wanted to pray, whatever language, whatever request, but you had to pray once a day. So it can't be, according to Rambam, that the Korban is the trigger of our obligations to pray. Because prayer is a separate one of 613 mitzvot. Therefore, the way the Rav understood this debate, it's not a debate. There are, even though they present it as a debate, that's not really true. Each author speaks of a different dimension of the aspect of prayer. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov composed the idea of prayer, and then the guidelines of prayer happen to be only following the rituals that took place in the Mikdash. And the proof that this is correct is because this Braita, I'm not going to read the whole thing, tells us that Yaakov established Tfilat Arvit. It's this week's Parsha, second Pasuk. So listen attentively to the second Pasuk of Kriyat HaTorah. Vayifga Bamakov. He prayed, and the Gemara goes on to prove that the word Pigi'ah, which we translate as a nudnik, a pega, a pegara, but that's what we are. We're nudniks to the Rabbanu Shalom. We pray, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, Tfilat Arvit, according to the Gemara, is only Rishut. No obligation to Daven Arvit. None. We, Am Yisrael, has adopted the practice to Daven Arvit, but it's not obligatory. Why should Yaakov's tefillah be any less obligatory than Yitzchak's or Avraham's? Because in the Beit HaMikdash, there was no parallel to establish tefillah Yaakov. There was never any activity in the Beit HaMikdash at night. Beit HaMikdash operates only during the day. The only thing they do at night is if there is a backlog on the Mizbeach during the day, and there are certain limbs and fats that had to be burned, they would burn it at night. So sometimes there was activity in the Mikdash at night, and sometimes not. That's why Tfilat Arvit is Rishut. It's not obligatory. Because there is no obligatory activity in the Mikdash at night. But the idea that it would be preferable, desirable, or that it's meaningful to pray at night, that was established by Yaakov. And however, there is no guideline in the Mikdash, there's no activity upon which to establish an obligation, hence Tfilat Arvit is Rishut. Question?
No, I wasn't a question.
Okay.
Sort of a outside comment. So does that mean that Tfilat is really only Bakashot? When you praise Hashem in Shemanga Esrei, you know, you have three.
Good. Those are secondary. And it's important to know this. The essence of tefillah is bakasha. We know that when you come to a king or a queen and ask and want to make a request, it's nice to say something nice about them appropriately before you make the request. So that's why we have, and then you say thank you. That's why we have the first three and the last three. But the very essence of prayer is bakasha. That is the essence of the prayer experience. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our praise. We're a little ant. So we're going to say thank you. Great guy, Rabbi Yishayahu. Yeah?
So, you're saying that
Arvit
is not obligatory, so Tfilah is not one of the 613?
According to Rambam, it is.
So I was going to say, like,
but it's once a day. According to Torah law, you must daven once a day. According to the Ramban, there's no obligation. What's no obligation to daven every day? The Ramban believes that tefillah is only midrabbanan, not midoraita. If you listen to the WhatsApp, you would have heard that. One of the very first shiurim. Okay, that's all. Yes. Okay, it's a very good question. It's an excellent question. So even in the... what about on Shabbat, where we don't say the middle 12, what is the essence of prayer on Shabbat and Yom Tov? So technically you're right, but even in our tefillah, we do make a bakasha, a spiritual one. Kadeshenu b'mitzvotecha. Sanctify us with your command. That's also a bakasha. V'samchenu b'shivotecha. Taher libeinu liyadcha b'yamet. That's also a bakasha. And truth is, one of the most difficult questions is that sim shalom is also a bakasha. And that's at the end. How do we understand that request? Not supposed to be any requests in the last three or the first three. But there are. I can talk about that for 20 hours. I don't want to do that. But so here, you should be aware. Odena omeid lifnei Hashem is still in the mode of praying to God. Praying to God. What is he going to pray about? We'll see in 2 seconds. But this is the basis of Tfilat Shacharit, Ein Amida Ela Tfilah.
So if you're not davening Shacharit, you can still pray to Hashem in the middle of it by yourself.
By davening mincha.
No, but can you? Is there such a thing as personal prayer?
Yes, that's called tefillat nidava, a voluntary prayer. But now that prayer is formalized, if you want to daven another Shemona Esrei as a voluntary prayer, you have to add something of your own above and beyond in the text. But there is such a thing called voluntary prayer. Yes?
So, I'm still troubled by the word Hodeinu.
Mm-hmm.
Because, does that mean he was praying before? In other words...
No. We don't know what he was praying before. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit. Right? And he's still there. So who knows what he was praying for? Maybe Avraham was praying to thank God for the first Bisurah. What was the first Bisurah? Exactly. From Sarah. So maybe he used that opportunity to turn to Rabban Shalom and say, I want to thank you for this wonderful good news. And he's still in the mode of prayer. And now, having heard the second Bisurah, that the angels are going to destroy Sodom, says, Rabban Shalom, hang on a second, I got something else.
Okay. So this explanation has nothing, it's a separate explanation from Tikkun Sofer.
Of course. The Tikkun Sofer is, Avraham's not praying.
Right.
The Tikkun Sofer is, God is standing there next to our, God is waiting for Avraham. Right. Not that Avraham's waiting for God. Right. Exactly. Yes. Good. That is correct. We don't know. Unless one of them said. God told them that we're going to do. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaMechaseh ani me Avraham. So the angels indeed did not tell him. Correct. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And that's going to be done through the angel. In fact, there is somebody here who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here at all. He's talking to an angel the entire time. And that the word God in this pasuk means an angel, not God. God did not play a role in this particular unit whatsoever. One of the parshanim says that. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being represented by these angels. By the angels. Which is not so unusual. Because after all, what does a malach do other than represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will? And when they're not busy, they're watching the Yankee game. Other than that, there's not much else that angels do. And according to some traditions, they only have one job. And that's it. So, Raphael only does curing. This one only does that. So sometimes, it's a little boring. Yeah. Anyhow. Let me invite them. Vayigash Avraham Vayomar. Now, this is one of the more famous tefillot of the Chumash, and it goes on from Pasuk Chav Gimel through Lamed Gimel. It's 10 psukim. So after I get finished with this pasuk today, which I probably will not finish today, but after I get finished, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the unit of the prayer. We all know it, but I want to just get a flavor for it. And then expect you to give me the standard interpretation about this unit and what its essence. And then I'm going to break it down and show you that there were three different types of requests that Avraham made. Not just 50, 45, 40, just going down the number. Totally different requests. In each of the three different types of requests that he made. But first, I want to examine this pasuk. Vayigash Avraham Vayomar. Ha'af tispe tzadikim rasha. Will you also destroy a tzadik with a rasha? Yeah. Now, I translated the word ha'af the way the simple pshat is. Ha'af meaning what? What meaning? Meaning what? Look Rashi. Look at Rashi. Will you? Look at Rashi. Ha'af tispeh. Hagam tispeh. Will you also Not, I understand why you're going to destroy Sodom. Because all of this haktsa'akata ba'elai. Because of all of the terrible scream that I'm hearing. I know I do. But are you going to also destroy a tzaddik together with a Russian? Is that possible?
Even.
Right, even. Yes, yes. However, not everybody interprets the word ha'af as even. Or will you also? Take a look at the Ramban. Page 1, right side, the Ramban, and he's not the only one. He is not the only one. Vayigash Avraham, right hand side, page number 1, bracketed on the right hand side, the Ramban. Vayigash Avraham Vayomar. Ha'af tisper tzadikim rasha. Apo shel hakadosh baruch hu imidat dino. Maze'af.
Anger.
Exactly. We describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Erech Apayim. That's the plural of Af. Apayim. So the Af, Be'af Uvechema, the Torah uses the expression a couple of times. Anger and anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban. Anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means his Midat Hadin. That God is employed currently in the habit or in the interest of using Midat Hadin. V'chashav Abraham shehi, that God's anger tisper tzadik im rasha. And therefore he is perplexed. How can you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, justify based on Midat Hadin that a tzadik should what?
Be destroyed
with the Russia. And in fact, many make the following claim. The word tzaddik appears a couple of times already in the text. A couple of times. Anybody remember a famous tzaddik in Parshat Noah? Yeah, Noah is tzaddik. But there is another one there as well. Vayomar Hashem Noah. Ra'uri, ki otcha ra'iti tzadik lefonai bador hazeh. Please open it up to Bereshit, chapter 6. Good. Exactly my point, Nechama. Exactly. We all think, when you see the word tzaddik, you think of the Baba of a Rebbe. You know? A chassidus Rebbe. You think of the Kutzke. He's a tzaddik. You know, he's a tzaddik. It's not a word that we use very comfortably with most human beings today. Right? I know a couple of tzaddikim. Rabbi Yudin is a tzaddik. Shevi Yudin is a tzaddik. They are tzaddikim. But most of us, we're not tzaddikim. In the colloquial sense of the word tzaddik. However, if you look at chapter 7 for a second, it's verse 1. Vayomer Hashem lenoach, bo ata ata v'chol beitcha el ateva, ki otcha ra'iti tzadik lefonai bador hazeh. Tzadik lefonai bador hazeh. So now, in order to see the clincher as to what the real meaning of tzaddik is, please open up, it's at the end of Parshat Ki Teitzeh, it's chapter 23, in Sefer Dvarim, just have to get the right pasuk. I think it's pasuk bet, if I'm not mistaken. Chapter 23, no, it's more than 25. It's chapter 25, pasuk 1. Ki Yihyeh. Everybody have it? Let's get it. Let's go. Chapter 25, verse 1. Sefer Dvarim. Good. Ki Yihyeh Riv Bein Amashim. It should be a fight between two sisters.
two sisters right here have a fight with one another. V'nekshu el ha-mishpat, and they will come to court. U'shfatum, and they will be judged.
V'hitzdiku et ha-tzadik, v'hirshiyu et ha-rasha. What does it mean? Translate it. The guilty one is identified as the rasha. The innocent one is the one identified as a tzaddik. The biblical text, when it uses the word tzaddik, it is always in the context of a decision that is made when you are judged, either by a court or by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, just one second. So in Noah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision, judged the entire generation. And he found that the rest of them are Rishayim, but you, Bo Atah El Ateva. Why? Ki Otcha Ra'iti Tzadik. You stand out in this generation having proved to be victorious, because I don't believe that the charges against the generation apply to you. So here also, Abraham is using the word tzaddik or rasha or in rasha in the context of a legal contest. If you're doing it legally, so a person is identified as a tzaddik based on what happened. What happened, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You looked at the entire stone, and there is one or maybe 10 or 50 people who emerge as tzaddikim. Well, if they emerge as tzaddikim, that means they won. They emerged unscathed in your... The charges against you are not relevant to them. So how could you possibly execute them together with the Rishayim? It's not saying, he's a tzaddik, he wears Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, he wears the talus over his head, the whole davening, you know, he's a real tzaddik. That's got nothing to do with this. Sit this. It has to do with very simple. There is a case being deliberated, and those who are guilty is the rasha. Those who is the tzaddik is the one who's innocent. So if you're innocent in court, did you ever see the court ever punish the innocent after a court case? Never happens. That's Avraham's argument. Ha'af tispes, says the Ramban. Af is midat hadin, because under normal circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relaxed. He's not angry. And when he's described as angry, it's because something is getting the better of him and not allowing his rachamim to dictate the situation. Because rachamim does not mean you deserve it based on din. Rachamim is above and beyond din. That you could be guilty and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to punish you. That's rachamim. But when he acts with midat hadin, that is symbolized to us, be'af, anger, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inclined only to operate with midat hadin. If it's midat hadin, the rasha dies. If it's midat hadin, the tzaddik lives and doesn't need your rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save the tzaddik. Hence, says the Ramban, ha'af tispe, do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now, are you going to, having just judged this city, you know, the Choshav Avraham, Shehi Tispet Tzadikim Rasha. Lo Yada Machshivot Hashem, Asher Choshav Alehem, Berachamav Ka'asher Pirashti. We said previously on the pasuk of Im Lo Eida'a, what did the Ramban say? That if they are guilty, if I go down and find that they are guilty, what am I going to use? Only midat hadin. The imlo, but if I don't find they're as bad as everybody thought they were, and the charges are not as severe, eida'a. That's what it said at the end of Pasuk Chavav. So how did the Ramban interpret eida'a? So I will use midat harachamim. Doesn't mean that you don't get punished. You do get punished, but you don't have to be eliminated completely. I don't have to destroy the entire city.
Abraham wasn't aware of that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him that. So he thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to use only Midat Hadin. If he's only using Midat Hadin, HaKadosh Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't do that. Ha'af, tisper sadik im rasha. Yes.
But this is a fundamental difference in perhaps the way we think now and the way many of the commentators interpreted, which is that in their case, a person was either a tzaddik or a rasha. There seems to be an obsession among many of the commentators of defining people as either tzaddik or rasha. In our times, we think of people as being more nuanced and more complicated, that their deeds may be justified or condemned. Each individual action, which, as you say, might merit punishment, but not that the person is defined by each of his actions. But this goes on, but the judgment that a person is either tzaddik or rasha seems to predominate in,
yes, I would agree,
most of these,
yes,
nations.
Yes.
How do we explain that sometimes someone gets rachamim and sometimes someone does not?
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of certain situations, I read a couple of weeks ago the Rambam, who said that what ultimately determines if somebody is a tzaddik or rasha, not one single event, it's not even the number of them, it's the which ones you get HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry with. He's got his favorites, his list. So, and the Rambam wrote, one Aveira on his bad list can outweigh 500 mitzvot. And one mitzvah on his good list can outweigh 500 Aveirot. So as to whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu employs rachamim or mishpat, that is impossible for us to know.
Secret code.
Yes, correct, correct. Good, so that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, yeah. Take a look now at Rashi, who says, comments on the word Vayigash Abraham, and what question do you think Rashi, he doesn't ask the question. Rashi doesn't always ask the question, but by son's answer, I know what his question is. So look at the beginning of look at the end of the previous pasuk, and tell me what is Rashi's question on the word Vayigash. He's standing right there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does he have to go? What does he have to approach? He's standing right there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayigash means he came closer, he advanced, he approached. We have to approach. He's right here. Right here. So Rashi answers that the word Hagasha means something specific. Take a look at Rashi. Matsinu Hagasha Lamilchama. We find that the word Vayigash is occasionally used to prepare for battle. As it states in Divrei Hayamim, Vayigash Yoav. Yoav approached and prepared for battle. Vahagasha Lipius. Mazepius. To appease. Vayigash, as it says, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. This is after Yosef kept Binyamin, locked Shimon up in jail, and Yehuda finally corrects his mistakes and approaches Yosef in order to release Binyamin. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Now he was standing right there. So the word Vayigash is telling us for a special purpose. What does it mean? To appease him. To try to get him to what? To get him to soften his opinion and release. In fact, just as an aside, the Midrash says Vayigash Elav Yehuda was for Milchama. That Yehuda is saying, you know, if you're going to be stubborn, if you're not going to give in to me, I'm going to go to battle with you. And you of all people, you should know who I am. You know, he's saying that himself. Maybe, you know, and Yosef knows very well who Yehuda is. And so the Medrash says that these are two kings
about to go to war, who's going to ultimately emerge as the king of Israel? Is it going to be Yosef, who Yaakov identified as the king of Israel? Or is it going to be Yehuda, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be the king of Israel? But they're set to go to battle. They quote a pasuk, which we read outside on Monday morning, Kihine Hamelachim Noadu Yachdav. The two kings are set to square off. But Rashi quotes that it's Midrash. And Vahagasha Litfilah. Vayigash is also Tfilah. This is by the famous Har HaKarmel episode, where Eliyahu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, can you do me a favor? We're all going to bring Korbanot. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to his Korbanot. Don't accept their Korbanot. Only accept my Korbanot. So that was Tfilah. Ulechol Eile Nidash Avraham. And Avraham approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all three ways. These are very courageous words. Lidaber Kashot, to speak somewhat harshly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulepiyus, and to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Litfilah. And where exactly does it say Milchama? Where's the third thing, Milchama? Doesn't really say. Doesn't really say what war Abraham is about to engage in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it means to fight with him. War of words. To fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just to pray, but to argue and to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulitzvilah. Ha'af tispeh, hagam tispeh. Rashi says, ha'af is not anger, but hagam tispeh. Or the Targum Unkel is lashon roges. Fine. Unkel is the basis of all those who say that it means anger. Anger. Yeah.
So is he angry?
What?
According to Unkel, he's angry. Hashem is angry.
Yes, he is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry according to Unkel. No doubt about it.
But Rashi doesn't agree with him?
Rashi does not. Rashi says that ha'af means even.
Oh.
Not, yeah.
Even the
right.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the Ramban will make another point. If you look at, for a second, the Ramban, let's just continue with line 4 of the Ramban, where after we left off. V'lachein amar, and therefore Abraham will have said, ki hagun v'tovu sheyisa l'chol hamakom l'ma'an chamishim tzadikim. That perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu might consider forgiving everybody if there are what? 50 tzadikim. Perhaps. Aval lo yitachein gam b'midat hadin l'hamit tzadikim rasha. Even if you don't want to forgive everybody on account of the 50, which would be not midat hadin, but rather what? Midat harachamim. But based on midat hadin, you can't tolerate a tzadik dying together with a rasha. She'im kein yihyeh katzadik harasha v'yomru Shav Avod Elohim. What will people say?
Pointless.
It's pointless to waste the time to serve God. Because you wind up with the same fate as what? As a guy out the pole. So why do I have to daven mincha? Why do I have to do anything? Why do I have to be righteous? Do whatever. I'm going to suffer the same result in any event. The choshken, the midas rachamim, shehu shofei kol haaretz. Certainly, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use Midat HaRachamim, as he often judges when he judges mass people, Shofei Kol Haaretz, Vehu, on page number 2, Ha'osem Mishpat, Ki'inyan, Vayitba, Hashem, Tzivaot, Ba'mishpat, Ve'omarnu, HaMelech HaMishpat. What is the Ramban
saying here. We say in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you remember the phrase. It's at the end of the bracha of Kiddushat Hashem. Kadosh ata v'norah shemecha v'ein Eloha mivalavecha kakasuv v'yigba Hashem tzva'ot v'mishpat v'ho'el ha-kadosh nikdash v'tzdaka. And we're proud of it. V'yigba Hashem. What does it mean, v'yigba? God is exalted through what? Through mishpat. And we call God during the Aser Shemei Tshuva HaMelech HaMishpat. Asks the Ramban, in effect, why would we be doing this during the Aser Shemei Tshuva? Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we be doing, saying this during the Aser Shemei Tshuva? Is that exactly what we want? We want Mishpat? We want to be treated exactly what we've done? Oh, I did something, go ahead, do whatever you want. Is that what we're asking for? We're asking God to engage in mishpat that He engages in when He is the shofet kol ha'aretz. When a kadosh baruch Hu operates as a shofet with one person, that's what happens sometimes. An individual is guilty and they suffer the consequences. But when a kadosh baruch Hu has to make a decision about an entire community, an entire continent, or perhaps even the entire world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not necessarily employ pure mishpat. But how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu operate? With rachamim badin. With compassion, yes, recognizing that that it is mishpat. Yes, it is, but it's rachamim ba-mishpat. And that's what Avraham is planning to do right now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now, that is what he is planning on doing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To ask for, because he knows that this is a judgment of the whole nation. Says the Ramban, do me a favor, please look at the first two words of Pasuk Chaf. Look at the first word of Pasuk Yud Zayin. First two words of the word Pasuk Chaf. The last two words of Chaf Bet. And then, look at Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Exactly. Look at Chaf Zayin and Lamed Aleph. And Lamed.
Lamed Zayin, Lamed, and Lamed Aleph. And the ones that I told you 2 seconds ago to look at. Only have to look at 6 things at once. So Nechamia said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, what name does he refer to himself? Yud Kei Vav Kei. When Avraham is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what name is he speaking to? Adonai, Master. So they're not on the same wavelength. It also is, but Adonai also is. No, we'll talk about it, but I'm just telling you how the Ramban is going to use it. The Ramban notices the change of the use of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning, because he's judging an entire nation, he never planned on doing what? On doing what? Using pure Midat HaDin. My approach is going to be to use some degree of rachamim. But Avraham doesn't know that. And therefore, Vayigash Avraham. Avraham has to what? Approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even use what? Diber ito kashot. That's what Rosh Ramban said. Kashot. Use harsh language. In other words, you have to be on stage and act. He didn't say like a lebeler. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to destroy the site? No! He said,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him vent, and every time he makes a concession, sure, I'll do that too. I'll forgive for the 50. I'll forgive for the 45. And we'll see what the request was next time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you misread me. You thought that I'm only pure in Midat Hadin? And that's not true. Because if it had been, I, the editor of the text, would never have identified myself in those three locations before as Vahashem. I would have used Elohim or something else, El, that represents our Midat Hadin. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham, is unaware of this, says the Ramban, and therefore has to use every available means. Pius, to appease, kashot, which is the word for battle, war, battle with words, and which is the milchama, and just the fact that he prays alone to Avraham as well.
It's Lot is tzaddik in this case.
Yes, in this respect, Lot has emerged as a tzaddik. As Nishkan Grace Tzadik, but at least in comparison, yes, that is correct. Yes.
Isn't Avram responding to the word kala?
What?
Isn't Avram responding to the word kala? Asukala.
It depends how you interpret the word kala, right? We saw last week kala means kula. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily destroy. It could. Depends.
It depends. Yes.
Is it all or nothing? Can't be.
Okay, so he doesn't know what's running through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. He said that he might destroy the whole city. That's what he said he might do.
But he did.
That's because he didn't find what Avraham was looking for. We will read the text and we'll come to the end where he didn't ask for less than 10. Right? Okay, but what happens if there was two tzaddikim? Are they going to die? We'll see. We'll talk about it. We will talk about it. All right. Can I just ask everybody on this side of here just to get over? I got to take this picture. If of your people sit, and my thing does. And you, over here, you guys get over here. I got to take this picture.
You're using it as a guinea pig. Just to be a favor, stand over there for a minute. Yeah, that's okay. Come on. Anybody wants to see, can sit. Even better, sit. I'll take two seats for a second. Just 1 hour. I thought it's not looking up across it. It shouldn't take so long. It's not looking up across it. It shouldn't take so long. Okay, excellent.
What's this for?
I'll tell you what it's for in a second. Perfect. Let everybody in one.
So we were going to see some pictures of us.
I never take pictures, so I don't
know. You can have your
day. Okay, thank you. This is for the Siyum in Israel on the Shas, for the women Siyum HaShas. So they want to show that there are groups of women in the United States learning Torah.
January 5th in Israel.
I'll be there.
Good, good.